Well, welcome back to our study of Genesis. We are in chapter 31, and we're going to pick up with verse 33. And Laban went to Jacob's tent, and into Leah's tent, and into the two maidservants' tents, but he found them not. Then he went out of Leah's tent and entered into Rachel's tent. Now Rachel had taken the images and put them in the camel's furniture and sat upon them. And Laban searched all the tent, but found them not. And she said to her father, "Let it not displease my lord that I cannot rise up before you, for the custom of women is upon me." And he searched, but found not the images.
So here Laban is just taking the liberty. Of course, Jacob has said, you know, you find anything you want to. So he's taking this liberty of going in and searching all the stuff, and Leah, and or the two concubines, Bill and Zilpah, and Leah, and then Rachel. And Rachel, she pulls a little slick move on him, and plays on the fact of being a female. And she's sitting on the camel furniture, and it's during her menstrual cycle. And so she tells her daddy, "To pardon me, I can't get up," which in their culture, that was considered to, you know, to be unclean. So they would mess with her. So he's not doing anything, saying, "Get up and let me check this." You understand? And so that's what saved her life, really. Okay.
And Jacob was wroth and chode with Laban. And Jacob answered and said to Laban, "What is my trespass? What is my sin that you have so hotly pursued after me? Whereas you have searched all my stuff, what have you found of your household stuff? Set it here before my brethren and your brethren, that they may judge between us."
So Jacob becomes very angry, and now he's confronting Laban. What's my offense? How is it that I rebelled against you? Here you've searched everything, all right? You take what you found that belongs. You lay it out here in front of all your friends, all your relatives, and let's see if I've taken anything from you. Let them judge between you and me. And so Laban obviously has found no offense against him.
"This 20 years I have been with you. Your ewes and your she-goats have not cast their young, and the rams of your flock have I not eaten. That which was torn of the beast I brought not unto you. I bore the loss of it. Of my hand did you require it, whether stolen by day or stolen by night. Thus I was. In the day the drought consumed me, and the frost by night, and my sleep departed from my eyes. Thus I have been 20 years in your house. I served you 14 years for your two daughters, and 6 years for your cattle, and you have changed my wages 10 times. Except the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac had been with me, surely you had sent me away now empty. God has seen my affliction and the labor of my hands and rebuked you yesternight."
Well, Jacob lays it on the line now, and he just recounts to Laban how he's been treated, you know, for 20 years. And he said, you know, "I cared for your flocks, and, you know, if there was any loss, I took the loss. I'm the one that was out in the elements. You know, I've not done you anything but good. I haven't done wrong by you. You know, experiencing the heat of the day, the cold of the night, working 14 years for his two wives. He said you changed my wages 10 times. And so, he said, bottom line, if my God, the God of Abraham, had not appeared to you, you'd have sent me away empty. I know you. I've learned you in 20 years, you understand?
And Laban answered and said to Jacob, "These daughters are my daughters, and these children are my children, and these cattle are my cattle, and all that you see is mine. And what can I do this day unto these my daughters, or unto their children which they have borne?"
And so Laban is saying, "What you have is mine, because you got it all from me.
Mm-hmm.
You came here by yourself, now you're leaving with my two daughters. You didn't come with flocks. In other words, the flocks you have is a result of me. And so, I'll tell you what, let's do. Let's make a covenant."
Mm-hmm.
Which was wise on Laban's part, because Jacob is becoming much stronger than Laban.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? And so he asked to enter into a covenant with him.
Verse 45. And Jacob took a stone and set it up for a pillar. And Jacob said to his brethren, "Gather stones." And they took stones and made a heap. And they did eat there upon the heap. And Laban called it, Jirgasea Dutha, I think that's right. But Jacob, he'll correct me, called it Gilead. And Laban said, "This heap is a witness between me and you this day." Therefore was the name of it called Gilead. Gilead?
Jirgasea.
Dutha.
Okay. Syrians calling it one thing, and Jacob, it's more simple, Gilead. Gilead. Okay.
That's got a lot
but
of
the bottom line is, the stones are a witness. Now, stones can't talk, can they?
Mm-mm.
But any time they see that heap of stones, that stone speaking. You made a covenant. This right here is the witness of the covenant you made. I can't pass here to harm you. You can't pass here to harm me. These stones will always testify to that fact. This is the witness.
Okay. And Mizpah, for he said, "The Lord watch between me and thee when we are absent from one another. If you shall afflict my daughters, or if you shall take other wives beside my daughters, no man is with us. See, God is witness between me and you."
So when you look at verse 49, it says they set up the pillar. So what they did was they took stones and made a pillar like a monument. So we could call it a memorial. In other words, this is to remind you. Isn't that what a memorial does? And so that's what the pillar is. And he says, we're going to call this thing Gilead and Mizpah. And Mizpah means watchtower. And Laban said, "The Lord watch between you and me in our absence from one another. You better not mistreat my daughters. The Lord is watching you. And so you don't mistreat my daughters. And don't you take any other wives other than my daughters." Interesting, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So Laban's pretty much a control freak, isn't he? And he says, even though no man witnesses, God will witness. Now, Jacob honored that. Of course, he already had four anyway. Right? Leah, Rachel, Zilpah, Bilhah, which produced the nation of Israel. Okay, or the sons that produced the nation of Israel.
And Laban said to Jacob, "Behold this heap, and behold this pillar which I have cast between me and you. This heap the witness, and this pillar is the witness, that I will not pass over this heap to you, and that you shall not pass over this heap and this pillar to me for harm. The God of Abraham, and the God of Nahor, the God of their father, judge between us." And Jacob swore by the fear of his father Isaac.
And so Jacob enters the covenant. They set up the monument. And he swears All right, I'll keep this covenant. I'm not going to mistreat your daughters. And I'm not going to take any more wives. And the God of Abraham, Nahor, this is interesting now. Because who is Nahor, the father?
Yeah, Abraham.
Abraham's father?
Abraham's father.
His father was Terah. Nahor was a brother, right?
Yes, that's right.
Okay.
That's right. That is interesting.
And so this God is going to watch over. Jacob said, I'll swear to that. I'll keep my end of the covenant. Okay?
That's interesting. Then Jacob offered sacrifice upon the mount and called his brethren to eat bread, and they did eat bread and tarried all night in the mount.
And so note this, this Jacob that's taken out of his flock, and he makes this big feast, this meal. This is including all of the people with Laban as well as with them. So they sat down and they eat this this big meal that night, and they stay on the mount. If someone wants to check me out on Nahor to make sure that we've got this thing correctly, you doing that, Kenzie? I'm trying to.
Okay.
Just pull up, take the Bible dictionary, Nelson Bible Dictionary, if you would, Michaela, and just type in N-A-H-O-R, and let's see what it says. Get you looking at your Bibles.
Yeah, go to the commentary or the topics. Look at top.
No, I don't need a commentary. I just need the Nelson Bible Dictionary.
I think, is it under topics, Michaela?
Topics, yeah.
Go to topics. It's his brother.
N-A-H-O-R.
Lived after he begot Terah.
The father of Terah, the grandfather of Abraham. Right? The father of Terah, grandfather of Abraham.
And begot Abram, Nahor.
The brother of Abraham.
There's two.
Nahor had 12 children. Okay. So Laban is tracing his lineage back to Nahor.
So Nahor was the father of Terah. Mm-hmm.
Terah was Abraham's father.
And also the brother of Abraham. There's two of them.
Mm-hmm. And so I'm assuming
Nahor Jr.
And soon it gets us in trouble, doesn't it?
Yeah. So they didn't have Junior, did they?
It's one of these Nahors. It's either the brother of Abraham or the father of Abraham. I would say the father of Abraham. Not the father of Abraham, the grandfather of Abraham. Terah was Abraham's father. I better get my stuff right here, okay? Nahor, Terah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Now, if you trace that back, it could be if you go to the brother Nahor, then that's the way Laban would have traced his lineage.
Mm-hmm.
So you could look at it either way. But now that I think about it, it's probably he's referring to the brother of Abraham, the God of Abraham and Nahor. Okay. And if I'm out right, Heather, and straighten that out for you. Okay?
I was wondering what happened. That's interesting, though. What's interesting to me about that is the lineage in that. The family, they recognized People in the family recognize God.
We'll look at it and get back with you. How's that?
Chapter 32? Okay.
You need to finish that last one.
Oh. And early in the morning, yes, sir. And early in the morning, Laban rose up and kissed his sons and his daughters and blessed them. And Laban departed and returned to his place.
So they have a peaceful departure. After God has dealt with Laban, and then he and Jacob got their differences worked out. Laban goes his way, and Jacob continues to do what God told him to do, return to his homeland. Okay?
Yeah, that's good. 32.
Okay.
Records Jacob's encounter with the angels, the messengers sent to Esau, Esau's coming out to meet Jacob, Jacob dividing his company into small groups, his wrestling with the angel of the Lord, his name change, and a change in his walk. Okay. Chapter 32. And Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, "This is God's host." And he called the name of that place Mahanaim.
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 Mahanaim. That's good.
Okay.
I'm not saying.
He called the name of the place Mahanaim, which means double camp. So what he said here is not only is this Jacob's camp, it's also the camp of the Lord. It's a double camp. God's angels are here. We're here. God's angels keep camping here protecting us, is the essence of it. Okay?
And Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau, his brother, and to the land of Seir, the country of Edom. And he commanded them, saying, "Thus shall you speak to my lord Esau. Thy servant Jacob said thus, I have sojourned with Laban and stayed there until now. And I have oxen and asses and flocks and men servants and women servants. And I have sent to tell my lord that I might find grace in your sight."
Even though God has told Jacob to go back, God has promised Jacob that he would be God to him, my paraphrase, okay? Jacob still has a fear of his twin brother Esau because of what he had done in the deception and then taking the blessing, not just the birthright, but the blessing also. And so Jacob is, he says, I'm gonna do all I can do to appease Esau.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you, if you look at all the stuff that he laid out there, he's sending messengers ahead, and he has given his brother many animals, which tells you how well God had blessed Jacob. This is the gift he's given Esau, and he has plenty left over, you understand. So he tells the messengers, all right, you take these, and you tell Esau that I'm coming, and this is the gift that I'm giving to him. You might even say a peace offering.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, "We came to your brother Esau, and also he comes to meet you, and 400 men."
Now this is getting Jacob's attention. He sent these messengers out there, and he sent this gift out there, and they come back. They're saying, "Your brother's coming to meet you with 400 men." Now, what would you think?
Man.
It doesn't sound like you're getting ready to get attacked, right? And so Jacob goes into an immediate plan, okay?
Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people that was with him, and the flocks and herds, and the camels into two bands, and said, "If Esau comes to one company and smites it, then the other company which is left shall escape."
So he divides this into two companies. So if they attack this, that at least one of them will get away. It won't be a total loss. He is very fearful of Esau coming to do him harm.
And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which said unto me, Return unto your country and to your kindred, and I will deal well with you. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which you have shown unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. Deliver me, I pray you, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me, and the mother with the children. And you said, I will surely do you good, and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude.
So this fear motivates him to go to God. And he goes to God, reminding God of what he has told him, what God has told Jacob. He said, now, you said you're going to do this, you know, you're going to protect me, you're going to provide for me, and all these things, you're going to be God to me. And he says, listen, I'm not worthy of any of it. I know that. I'm not worthy of the kindness that you've shown me. I mean, I crossed this brook with my staff. And now I'm going back over here with two companies of people. You bless me. You understand? He's reminding himself and God of how well God has blessed him. He said, but I'm afraid of my brother. I'm afraid of Esau. He may come and attack me and my wives and children. And you told me that you would make it well for me. I mean, I'm going home because you told me to. And you said you'd make it well for me, and you told me that my descendants would be like the sand of the sea that can be numbered because of abundance. It's all right to put God in remembrance of His Word.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, you said.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to hold on to what you said. I'm dependent upon you to honor that word. Okay? And that's where Jacob is at this particular time.
And he lodged there that same night and took of that which came to his hand a present for Esau his brother, 200 she-goats and 20 he-goats and 200 ewes and 20 rams, 30 milch camels with their colts, 40 kine, 10 bulls, 20 she-asses, 10 fowls, and he delivered them into the hand of his servants. Every drove by themselves, and said to his servants, Pass over before me, and put a space between drove and drove.
And so with this gift, you can see this is a pretty sizable gift, isn't it? And they were, each one is in its own group. The camels, the donkeys, whatever, they're in their own groups. And there's a space between them. What's he doing? He's buying time, hoping that this is appeasing Esau. These are yours, these are yours, these are yours, these are yours. Hopefully by the time he gets to Jacob, his anger will be subsided. Okay? That's his plan. And so he's using a good strategy, if you will, as far as a military strategy goes, to try to protect what he can protect.
And he commanded the foremost, saying, When Esau my brother meets you and asks you, saying, Whose art you, and whither goes you, and whose are these before you? Then you shall say, They are thy servant Jacob's. It is a present sent unto my lord Esau, and behold, also he is behind us.
So when Esau meets them, each one of them is to say the same thing. These are yours. These are yours.
Mm-hmm.
These are yours. These are a gift. Jacob's giving you a gift. All this is yours. Okay?
And in verse 20, And say you moreover, behold, thy servant Jacob is behind us, for he said, I will appease him with the present that goes before me, and afterward I will see his face, peradventure he will accept it of me.
So Jacob sending these gifts ahead of him to try to mend this relationship and appease Esau, and are you where he spends the night in the camp?
No, I'm getting ready to.
You want to get there?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
So went the present over before him, and he lodged that night in the company, and he rose up that night and took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons and passed over before Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had.
So Jacob sends the gifts ahead, then he spends the night here in the camp, and he got up and he took his two wives, Leah and Rachel, his two concubines, Zilpah and Bilhah, and his 11 sons, Benjamin's not yet born, and he goes across this ford of the Jabbok and sends them and all his possessions across the stream. Okay? And then Jacob stays on the other side that night.
And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaks. And he said, I will not let you go except that you bless me.
So Jacob by himself there in the camp, and there's this man there that hadn't been there before. And so he says that Jacob wrestles with him. He's wrestling, we know, with an angel. Okay? Now, the interesting thing about this is Jacob was no wimp. You understand, this angel could not physically overcome him. This is what we would call a theophany, to where a spiritual being is manifested as a physical person. And so Jacob is writing, wrestling with this, what appears to be a physical person. And this angel in this body cannot handle Jacob. And he says, let me go. And Jacob says, I'm not about to let you go. You're going to bless me before I let you go. And so the angel has to resort to a spiritual means to overcome Jacob. He touches the King James Version says the hollow is his thigh. It's a sinew. And what he actually did, if I understand it correctly, was it dislocated Jacob's hip. Jacob's not letting go until he's blessed. So he understands that who he's wrestling with has the potential of blessing him and the power to bless him. Okay?
And he said unto him, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, your name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed.
Now, remember that there's two camps. The angel's camp, remember that? So I think Jacob's wise enough to understand that he's wrestling with something supernatural here. Okay? So he says, bless me. He says, what's your name? Jacob, supplanter, deceiver, heel snatcher. He said, your name is changed. You'll no more be recognized as a supplanter and deceiver, but your name is changed to Israel, because you're a prince with God. You've wrestled and you have prevailed. Isn't that interesting? You've wrestled and you have prevailed. And Jacob said, what's your name?
Yeah.
He wouldn't tell him. Why are you asking money? Why do you want to know money? But he did bless Jacob, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Today, you don't recognize Israel as the deceiver. You recognize Israel as the blessed one, don't you? That's why they can't be overcome. This thing that's going on today, God's fighting their battles. They're in there, but God's with them. Why? God is still honoring the covenant that He made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so they have God on their side. So you're going to overthrow God? I just saw a little clip of one of the heads of state of one of these Jew-hating countries make a public statement that Allah was going to get Israel and would deal with Israel, my paraphrase, and dropped at the podium of a heart attack. Said, yeah, we're going to find out who the real God is. You understand? God's keeping that covenant. Israel's blessed. They're the blessed people. So it's not Jacob anymore. It's Israel. So did the angel do what Jacob requested? You give me a blessing. Well, we wouldn't think a name change would be much of a blessing until you realize what comes with a name change. A mighty nation. Small territory, but mighty nation. Amazing.
And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved.
So he names this place Peniel. Names had meaning, because the face of God. I've seen the face of God, and I'm still alive. There was a fear. You see it at different places in the Old Testament. People thought if they saw the face of God, they'd die. But he saw it through a theophany. Just like Manoah, Samson's father, they saw the angel of God, but it was through a theophany. It looked like a man. And what did Manoah do? He fell on his face thinking he's going to die. Jacob said, I've seen the face of God. I'm still alive. He's blessed.
Mm-hmm. And he passed over Peniel, and as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank.
Now there's a principle here that we don't want to overlook. Jacob has had an encounter with God. And it changes him forever. It changes his walk.
Mm-hmm.
This is a physical thing. So he goes away from there limping. Now, his dependence is in God, right? I am convinced if a person truly has an encounter with God, it will change their walk. I'm not talking about limping. I look at my own personal life, and it wasn't till I had an encounter with the Lord, and that encounter with the Lord changed me dramatically. I've told people the man that left home and went to work that morning died on the job. Because it was a different man that went back. When you have an encounter with God, it'll change you forever. It'll change your thinking. I'm not talking about courting God. I'm talking about having an intimate encounter with the Lord. Where you know it's God that has spoken to you. You with me?
Mm-hmm.
It'll change your walk. And I'm not talking about looking for some spectacular thing to occur. There was nothing spectacular about it. I did not see anything. That quick, I knew things. That it was impossible for me to know. That was 30 seconds prior to that. I didn't know it. But I can tell you what it did. I knew it was God. And I'll tell you what it did do. It brought me out of secular work and ultimately into the ministry. That's how dramatic that encounter was. It changed my whole vocation. And I would have never thought that would have happened. You with me? But I'm going to tell you, when you have an encounter with God, it'll have a dramatic effect in your life. And you, well, time's up, so we'll have to stop here. I hope you got something out of this tonight. And I'm going to get back and I'm going to try to solidify Nahor here, okay? Because I don't want to tell you something that's not correct, okay? I make enough mistakes as it is. Got to stop that. Right?
Me too.
Father, I thank you that you bless us indeed. You enlarge our territory. Your hand's with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up your countenance upon us. And you give us peace. So, Lord, we invite you to rise up, let your enemies be scattered, and those who hate you flee before you. You guys have a great evening, great weekend, and don't let the snow bother you. And just go with God. Amen.
Amen.